Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hello, good morning. Happy Sunday. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God we'll hear today. Thank you because we know that after this service, we'll be improved. We'll be more glorious. We'll be more efficient in the things of God. Thank you, because our lives for your glory, and after this service that will be established in our hearts. Thank you for insight and understanding granted unto every single one of us today. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, good morning, everybody. You know, this period, what you can do is to speak in other tongues. You have time to pray. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And so, you know, one thing that you'll be doing this period and you'll be edified is speaking in tongues. And so, instead of spending so much time browsing, you can browse. There's nothing wrong with that. But also spend just as much time speaking in other tongues. That is what you should do. Invest the Word of God in your life. It's so important. It is so important. All right? Great, 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 great. Okay. So today I'm going to talk about something, just mention it, that will help you, and then go into something else that will also help you, and then I'll begin the introduction of a message that will help you, okay? When you're reading the Bible or you're listening to a message, you want to speak in tongues, and I'm not talking about tongues, you know, it's not praying. You've already prayed or probably plan to pray after the message or after reading your Bible, but while you're reading, all of a sudden, tongues well up in you. When that happens, don't bottle it up, speak in other tongues. At times, you could be even listening to me while I'm teaching, and then the tongues come. Don't suppress it. Learn to allow your spirit be free to express itself. All right? Learn to be free in your spiritual expressions. Don't bottle up the expression of your spirit, because on the day when you need help, it is your spirit that would have to gain the ascendancy. In the day when something is happening that physically you don't understand, you would need your spirit to gain the mastery. And so when you don't need help, learn to let your spirit express itself. You know, there's a story of a lady whose husband was a police officer, and she was at the market, and all of a sudden she wanted to speak in other tongues. And she thought, this is such an odd place, but, you know, she felt that urge so strong. And she started blasting tongues, started speaking in tongues fervently. She sat down on the floor. People gathered, wondering what is wrong with her. And she was just speaking in other tongues. And then one of the police officers, the colleagues with her husband, came and saw her. And when she was done, he asked her if she was okay and offered to take her home. When they got home, they found all of their properties packed together at one point. All of them packed together in the house at one point. What happened? Thieves had broken into their home and had packed their things but left them and escaped. So at that point in the market, remember the Bible says the Spirit of God, one of his responsibilities is to show you things to come. All right? And then the Bible says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And so in that market, you might want to sing thanks to God, but that might not be the time for you to thank God. Something might be happening at home that you need to fix. And so when you speak in other tongues, the Bible says the Spirit helps our limitations. He can solve the problem. If you've learned to be free in your spiritual expressions, then when the Spirit needs your body to work, you'll be available. But if every time you bottle it up, you're washing, you don't think this is the right place, you're suppressing the expressions of your spirit, and that might not help you. And then to add a scripture to that, go to Acts 10 verse 44. I read it, it says, while Peter yet spake these words. Now, this is what happened. an angel appeared to a man called Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and told him specifically to go and call Peter, because Peter would minister to him. Peter had words of salvation. And so the angel told him, call Peter to preach to you. Simple terms. It's amazing. This gospel we preach is so revered in heaven. It's so important. And so the man sent for Peter, and Peter came. And so while Peter was preaching to him, can you imagine that? They are not started praying, they are not started worshiping. Peter was just explaining stuff to him, preaching to him. Something happened. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, while he was still talking, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Holy Ghost. Jesus said, a ghost or a spirit doesn't have flesh and blood. And so when he fell on them, nobody saw Holy Ghost falling on them. All right? But something happened. Because if the Spirit of God that fell on them, how did they know the Spirit of God fell on them when they can't see him? Look at it. 44 again. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew. That's how they knew the Spirit of God had fallen on them. They were speaking in tongues. I mean, Peter was still preaching, just like listening to the message, and then something happens to you. But listen, he's telling you what's happening. Listen, when the Holy Ghost fell on them, an ability they did not have before, they had, they got, they received, and then began to speak in other tongues. A sign that something had changed inside of them. Now, you can speak in tongues. And so while the message is going on, or you're reading your Bible, you're listening to a message, speaking in tongues might not seem like any big deal to you because you already speak in tongues. But no, what he's trying to tell you is that when things like that happen, the Spirit of God has impacted onto you an ability. It could be for your business. It could be for your spiritual communications. But something has been impacted onto you. And so what do? You speak in other tongues. Say, building up yourself for your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So now that ability has been imparted unto you, you pray in the Holy Ghost and build on it. That's what you do. So you learn to do that. All right? You learn to do it. It's a sign that something has changed. While you're reading, you don't want to speak in tongues. But then, as you're reading, there is an impartation in your spirit, and the tongues just come out. Let them come out. It means something has changed inside of you. It means something has happened to you. All right? So that's the first one. All right. The second thing I want to share, I had started talking about last week. So let me just emphasize on it. Don't worry. Today's service, you remember. You remember today's service very well in your life. So let me just lay emphasis on it. All right? And then we'll go on to the next thing. Matthew 16, verse 21. I read it. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter didn't want Jesus to die. You know, he wanted him to remain forever. But it wasn't just Peter talking now. It was Satan. Satan always opposes the word of God. Always. Okay? Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter. So he talked to Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I mean, if you were there, you think, what's up with this man? Where is Satan? What is he talking about? You know, only Jesus taught us how to talk to the devil, how to notice Satan and rebuke him. So here he's saying, God wants him to die for the world. And Satan is saying, it shall not be so unto you. Even rebuking him. It sounds nice, but it's Satan. All right? Okay, so the old gist is Peter didn't want Jesus to die, and Satan talked to Peter, and Jesus rebuked Satan. But this is where I'm going to, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. So remember, 24 is a continuation of what just happened. After he rebuked Satan and Peter, he started talking to his disciples. Because remember, Peter rebuked him in front of the disciples. So he dealt with that case, and then he started teaching, preaching to his disciples based on what had happened. But who was he talking to? Remember, his disciples. Okay. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's talking to his disciples. He said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Who is he talking to? Not unbelievers. Talking to his disciples. For whosoever will save his life. I don't mean not unbelievers. I mean people who believed in him as at that time. All right? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You have people who keep shouting, purpose, 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 purpose. But they are still so self-absorbed to themselves. Might be Christians. Jesus said, you want to find your life? Lose it. Lose it. How? He says, take up your cross and follow him. There are things you might want to do. There are things you probably liked before. He said, lose it. You want to save your life? This is Jesus talking. You don't know more than him. He knows what he's saying. I read on 26. Remember, he's talking to his disciples. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We use this verse often and rightly to talk to unbelievers, those who have not believed in Jesus. But in context, this message was for those who had believed in him. He said, when you have believed in him, because Peter said he believed he was a Christ. Peter said so. When you have believed in him, he says, it will profit you nothing to gain the world and lose your soul. Yes, you believe in Jesus, you go to church, but you are so attracted, so intertwined with the world. He says, lose that, else you lose your soul. It will profit you nothing. At times you learn about the word of faith, but anytime you hear of faith, it's always selfish things you want to use your faith for. Come out of that. He says, what shall it profit a man, or what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what is he trying to say? He said, follow me, you will find yourself. Lose yourself, you will find yourself. He said, no matter what you're doing to try to find yourself, without losing yourself for him, it's vain. It will not profit you. He says, what shall you give in exchange for your soul? So how do you get your soul? By following him, by taking up your cross. He's saying there's nothing you're doing right now that is outside following the Lord Jesus, taking up your cross, losing yourself, that makes any sense to God. Verse 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. So you see, this is not a message to those that do not believe. He's talking about those who believe. He's saying that reward every man according to his works. Who reward according to your works? Christians. But he's saying, as a Christian, you've been called to lose yourself. Lose yourself. Some people are still playing. Take yourself seriously. Take what Jesus said seriously. 2 Corinthians 5. Still on this, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 15. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We should really read this verse. Before we go to 17, we should always read verse 15. He says, he died for all, for a purpose. All right? He says, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. This is not a suggestion. He's not trying to suggest that, look, now that you are born again, please, don't live unto yourself, or live unto Christ. No, he said the reason why he died is so that you will not live to yourself. So you will lose yourself. That's what he's saying. It's like, if I'm paying you salary, I expect you to work. The reason why I'm paying you salary is so that you will work. So when I pay you salary, I should not be begging you, please now, come to work, please now, do that thing. No, I'm paying you salary so you would work. He gave himself, look at it, he says, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So once you believe in Jesus, henceforth, you're living for him. He says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He gave his life. He died. So you would live for him. That was his expectation. It's not a suggestion. So it's not about saying I'm a Christian, I go to church. This is what he's saying. He said he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So if you're a Christian, you're not living for yourself. If you're still living for yourself, something is wrong. You're still joking. He says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's why he died. With the assurance that we would live for him. The life he did not continue, we would continue. Are you saying it? So if you're a Christian, all of you, and you're still unserious, you are still playing. You are joking with your own life. You don't even know it. You see that? Last week I told you that the reason why some people would have issues with sin or doing the wrong thing is because of the environment they've created for themselves. That's all. When you remove distractions, you can focus on the right thing. Let me give you an example. I'm shooting right now from a camera and it's focused on me and you're focused on me. Now there are other things in the room. But because it's focused on me, those other things seem like they don't exist. Are you seeing it? Even though they're still in the room. So you can be in your environment, say my environment, I wish I was in Lekki, then I'll be calm and cool and be studying Bible. It's not about being in Lekki. It's about focusing on the most important thing. And so if you're too busy, for example, in a day, you say, you know what, I'm going to finish Jeremiah this week. If that is your target and your goal, you know you will not have time for trouble. To go and look for someone's trouble, for someone to trouble you. Why? Because you are busy about something. You will not have time for sin. Why? Because you're busy with righteousness. So cut off excesses. Cut off. One day you have to let it not be. That the day you plan to cut off excess, few seconds before that day, the church is raptured. Never. Right? So live for him. Live for him. Some of you have to take your phone. I'm giving you practical things you can do. And log out of useless accounts. Delete useless accounts. Delete useless things. Why? Because these things can kill you. They can put you in trouble. Remember something. My job is to tell you this now. I've done it. 100% I'm certified before God. I am living the Christian life. I will be raptured for sure. I am happy. I've made it. So you're doing it. It's not adding anything to me. I've done my job. Remember something. God told Ezekiel to go preach to the children of Israel. He said, when he gives him a word, he should say it. Then he says, if he does not say it, he will punish him. But his job is to what? Say it. He doesn't have to convince them, but just tell them. Once he tells them, he has done his job. So, as I'm giving you these guidelines, whether you do it or not, it doesn't mean anything to me. In terms of my position with God, it's for your own benefit. He says, when you lose yourself, you will find it. Maybe you don't even know why you're here. The reason why you're not sure why you're here is because you are too busy with the wrong things. Once you lose that, you will find it. This is what I'm doing in this world. You'll find it. Live for Him. Tell anybody, live for Jesus. Say, I am living for Jesus. Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Oh, praise the Lord. Speak in other tongues a bit. Hallelujah. Last week, continuing from last week, I said that, talking about the significance of his resurrection, and that he died. And because he died, he died no more. Death had no more dominion over him because he was raised from the dead. Right? So I'm sure you remember, death had no more dominion over him. And if death had no more dominion over him, then death had no more dominion over you. Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so every man will die once. Except someone dies for him. And in the eyes of God, in the eyes of justice, he really died. And that is what Jesus did. He died for us. And so death has no more dominion over us. Someone says, but people die. Yeah, because listen, remember something. Satan, death, they are all rebellious spirits. The idea of rebellious spirits is that they don't submit to principles or laws or instructions. So in rebellion, when you give an instruction, he must break it. That is the rebellion. He must break it. The spirit of witchcraft, he must break it. He must break that instruction. So even though we have no contract with death, we are not living. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. Even though we have no contract with death, death would still try to come. So you might still see that man, he's in the car, he has believed in Jesus. He has no contact with death. But there might be an accident. Because death will still try. So what does he do? When it's about to happen, you say, listen, you have to understand it's spiritual. It's not about the break failing. It's about death. So you say, you spirit of death, get out. Let go. Let me show you something. Colossians. We've talked about this in church before. But just to emphasize on it, Colossians chapter 2. I want to show you that what I'm saying is not extreme. It's not crazy. This is what they taught. Now, remember something. I was just thinking through this week. Just me and you were talking, all right? I'm talking to you. How that... I just thought, what happened? I think, because when you read the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you listen to Jesus, his expectations for the church, I just think, how come we've not gotten to that place yet, as a whole, yet. Because you still have Christians who live like other human beings. But that was not his expectation. Okay, let me read this to you. Verse 20, Colossians 2, verse 20. No, you still have Christians. Christians with the real life of God. They're afraid. They're afraid. Listen, let me tell you something. After last week's message, I thought, God, there's nothing to fear anymore. That's what I thought. I thought, nothing to fear. Nothing, nothing. There is nothing to fear. If someone pointed a gun at me, there's nothing to fear. Why? I have no business with that. And you know, I'm not just saying it. Someone has pointed a gun at me before. Just that I didn't have this knowledge. If I did have this, I think I would just laugh. There's nothing to fear anymore. Because, listen, it is a man that can die that should be afraid. In reality, we should not. Let me read this for you. 20. Who's talking? Paul to the Colossian church. It says,
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. You see what I'm telling you there? He says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Except someone died for you. I'm not talking about like, oh, they're about to shoot you, then someone took the gun and then died for you, but they can still shoot you. No, he's saying we died with Christ in reality. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So the old man actually died. The old man that could have died, died. This new one came out of death to die no more. It says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, agradisca pacto civil sharamane. He says, you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. The rudiments of the world. The way this world, listen, in the world, there are expectations. When something happens, this is the expectation. All right? He says, you are not part of those that should be expecting that thing. He says, you are dead with Christ from the rudiments. Listen, a dead man cannot fear. A dead man cannot be bound. I'm talking about naturally. If a guy is dead, nobody can arrest. Nobody arrests a dead man. Are you seeing it? It says we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. The principles of the world. The principle that says when God shoots you, you must die. We are dead to that principle. The principle that says if you're in that car and something's about to happen, it must affect you. We are dead to that principle. You have to understand that the laws, nobody would punish us. Oh God. Oh, how do I? Oh, see, we have to meditate on the word. Listen, let me go a bit far for you, all right? Normally, if someone hits you with knife, your hand should cut. It is a principle of the world. We are dead to that principle, meaning that that expectation doesn't have to be the same for us. He was pierced for us, so we'll not be pierced. He says we are dead from the rudiments of the world. No matter the laws, instructions, the caution they are given, in reality for the Christian, doesn't concern you. So they say everybody who's Igbo should kneel down, and then we come inside and then we find out that someone who's Yoruba, not Igbo, is kneeling down. You ask, but the instruction does not apply to you. The instruction was for all those who are Igbo, and if you're not Igbo, even though you're kneeling down, you're suffering for nothing. You're punishing yourself for nothing. You've chosen to be under a principle that does not apply to you. Now listen to this. Because you're not Igbo, doesn't mean you cannot kneel down. Are you seeing it? But because you're not Igbo means that you should not kneel down. And so because we have died to the rudiments of the world, doesn't mean you can't have Christians who would willingly subject themselves to these rudiments. But if you're a Christian, you should not be subject to it. Okay, let's look at this. 20. It says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world? Oh, so we are not living in this world. What he's trying to say is that, of course, you can move from one place to another in the earth, but the principles of this world does not apply to you, cannot touch you. In fact, in reality, the world doesn't recognize you as someone that can be affected. But remember, death is a rebellious spirit. So he's going to try. Let's finish this. He says, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Says, why do you subject yourself to ordinances? To rules? It's affecting everybody. So you subject yourself and say, yes, it will affect you too. Why? He gives us examples. He says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Oh, don't touch that person. The person is sick. You could be affected. He says, why are you subject to that ordinance? Don't taste that thing. It can kill you. Why are you subject to that ordinance? Don't handle. Don't go and meet your friends this period because you'll be affected. Why are you subject to that ordinance? Oh, I wish many Christians believed, knew the word of God, and believed the word. He says, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So these things are the commandments and doctrines, the principles of men, the teachings of men. They've taught you in school that if you touch this thing, so and so will happen. They've taught you in school that if you taste this, so and so will happen. He says these are the doctrines and commandments of men. But he says you're not of this world. Look at this, verse 23. He says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Are you seeing it? When you do those things, you seem like the wise person. Like this period where you wear the mask. And then, you know, everything you spray. And then you cover everything. You seem wise because that is what the doctrines of men have said you should do. So when you do it, it has a show, a look of wisdom and humility. And neglecting of the body, not any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know what he's trying to say here? Now, listen to this. Here he's talking about, you know, he's applying this general principle for the Christian that we are not of this world to a specific instance of Christians worshiping angels, all right, and trying to keep a particular feast, you know. He's applying it to that. But let me apply it in a more broader sense, like I've just done, all right? Don't touch, don't taste, because you learned in school, if you touch and you taste, this will happen to you. But those are the doctrines of men, and for those in the world, it will affect them. But the Bible says you have died with Christ from the rudiments of the world. But look at what he says here. He says, when you do these things, it has a show of wisdom. But he says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know what he's trying to say? He's saying all these things that are being done will not satisfy the cravings of the flesh. Bible says to be carnally minded is death. You know what he's trying to say? He's saying those that live according to their flesh will die. So there's a satisfaction. The flesh desires death. Let me give you an example. When there is, you know, a contagious disease, there are the doctrines of men. Don't touch, don't taste, don't go there, don't touch that, don't handle that. They think by doing this, they can, you know, restrict the possibility of anybody contacting that disease. So what they are trying to restrict, you see, they're trying to restrict the satisfaction of the flesh in that period. But the word of God is telling you that as a Christian, doing these things, they look wise. But look at it. It says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh, meaning that it will not satisfy the cravings of the flesh. That means, in other words, all of these things are vain. The person that will die will die. Doesn't matter how much he covers himself, covers his eye, covers his head, he will die. But we died with Christ. And so these things don't affect us. They don't. So there's nothing to fear. Are you saying? There's nothing. He wants you to have this mindset of a pilgrim, but not the suffering pilgrim. I'll talk about this on Wednesday. The heavenly man, that creature that was imposed on the earth by God, not subject to the principles of this world, but came to reign, to rule, and to deliver. That's the mindset he wants you to have. And for you to live that life, one of the first things you have to be confident of, for you to live that life absolutely, is that fear is nothing to you. Because the only people who fear are those that can die. But for us, the old man has died already. I want to show you something, Hebrews, quickly, before I close today. Hebrews, verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, he talked about being subject to the ordinance of the world. That's bondage. Now you have people who cannot go out. You know, you go for a meeting, everybody's wearing masks, trying to keep. They are in bondage. This is not how they want to live their life. They want to be free. They want to be okay. They want to eat anything. They want to go anywhere. They want to touch anything. But now they are subject to the ordinances of this world. So the Bible says they are subject to bondage. Why? Why? It says because of the fear of death. That's why people are wearing masks. Listen, if they had said this virus, if it affects you, it will just make one of your hair fall down. Do you know?
nobody will care. Anytime something has death attached, then fear springs up. Look at it. He didn't say deliver them through fear of poverty, fear of sickness, fear of death. Because everything a man fears, he fears because he thinks that thing has the ability to kill him. But if the Bible is true, and this is correct, he's saying that some people have been delivered. They've been delivered from the fear of death. What does that mean? It means that death has no effect on them anymore. Cannot affect them. Who are these people? He says we died with Christ. The Bible says he came up from the dead to die no more. Death had no more dominion over him. So every Christian has been delivered from the fear of death. And when I say that, I'm really talking about the old man, but you can relate with that. Has been delivered from the fear of death. So there's nothing to fear. I was telling you, nothing. I just kept thinking throughout last week, what are the instances that something can happen and I want to fear? Nothing. Because the one who fears is the one that can die. But I have a contract with death. In fact, because I've received the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace, I reign much more than death. So if death showed up, it would affect me. If it would affect someone else, I can tell it, get out. And it will go. Alright, here's my advice to you. Listen to this message again. The audio will be out. Listen to it again. Right? Just remind yourself that the reason why you're still here is to live for Him. The reason you're still here is to live for Him. Remind yourself that and learn to be free in your spiritual expressions.